This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Right, please.
Play. Six women face off on a basketball court in Indiana. Three from Denmark and three from the United States. But they're not playing basketball. Instead, each team guards a huge net, and everyone is blindfolded. The first thing you notice about the game is how quiet everything is. All you hear is the players' shoes squeaking on the court, and the bells and the ball that they're throwing back and forth to each other. This is goalball. It's one of the top sports for blind athletes. Today, these women are competing for their spot in the 2020 Paralympic Games in Tokyo.
So my particular condition is nystagmus, which is the constant involuntary movement of my eyes up and down and right and left.
This is Lisa Chakovsky. She's one of the members of the U.S. women's goalball team.
And I have cone rod dystrophy, so I don't have any color vision. I'm like a black and white TV.
Lisa's always been athletic. She was kind of a tomboy growing up. And even though she had a hard time seeing, that never stopped her from playing soccer or basketball with her brothers.
I thought things were awesome. I didn't think I had really any limitations besides, again, maybe a ball coming at me.
But she never really felt like she could play sports on a real team because of her vision impairment. That changed when she got to high school. She started running track and field, and she was actually pretty good at it. She got especially good at discus and javelin.
And so for the first time in my life, I was finding comfort in who I was, and then I was finding success in a sport. And so that was really awesome for me.
And coaches started to notice that Lisa stood out, especially one coach, an adaptive PE teacher. He went up to her one day at track practice and told her she could compete nationally as a blind athlete.
I was like, well, why would I do that? Like, I'm competing against sighted peers now. Why would I go compete against blind athletes? And I was kind of taken aback, honestly.
Lisa hadn't really spent a lot of time around other visually impaired people at this point, and she really didn't know anything about blind sports. She thought they'd be a step down from what she was doing.
And then he's like, well, and there's also this sport called goalball.
Goalball's been around since the 40s. It was invented to help rehabilitate World War II vets who'd lost their sight during the war, and it was one of the number one sports for blind athletes. But not a lot of people know about it.
And he's like, you explained the sport to me and he showed me a ball and I just kind of looked at him like, okay, you're kind of crazy. I mean, you want me to throw myself in front of this ball? Why? I had no understanding of it.
Remember, Lisa was learning about this in the early 90s, before YouTube or the internet, so she couldn't just go online and look up what this weird new sport was. So she said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm fine where I am. But this coach was really persistent. He came back the next year and gave her the same spiel, but this time he gave her a number to a few goalball athletes, and they started calling her and trying to get her to come out and watch them play.
And I went to my first goalball practice in October 95, and it began to change my life. Because when I went in, my eyes were open to a whole new world of athletic opportunity, which became life opportunity.
Through goalball, Lisa met other blind athletes from all over the country. And they were kind of badasses. They were lawyers, nurses, engineers. And this was really the first time Lisa had spent any time around other visually impaired people. And really quickly, she fell in love with the sport and the community of people that played it.
From that point on, it just became a really awesome journey of of five Paralympic Games, four medals, and, you know, I met my husband because of all these opportunities, and we have a life together that started with goalball as a common theme.
So what exactly is goalball? Well, let me try to show you. Okay, close your eyes. Now imagine you're on a basketball court and you're blindfolded. Behind you, there's a goal that's about the size of three hockey nets all taped together. And in front of you, there are lines on the ground made out of tape. But you can't see them because you're blindfolded. So underneath the tape, there's a little line of string that you can trace with your fingers. And that's really the only way you know where you are. And it's up to you and two other teammates to defend your goal from a big, jingling ball. You hear that? That's a goal ball. It's about 3 pounds and a little bit bigger than a basketball, and it's full of bells. Now, do your best to try and keep track of it. It's harder than you think. Okay, so where's the ball now? Is it in front of you? No, it's over to the left. Or is it the right? But how far right is it? And where are your teammates on the court? Your opponents? Ooh, the other team scored on you. That's okay. You were just getting warmed up. Let's try again. And remember this time, don't be afraid to really get in there. Goal ball's kind of like reverse dodgeball. So you have to use every part of your body to block that ball from getting in your net. Since the players are blindfolded, everyone in the stadium has to be silent. That means the coaches can't talk and no one is allowed to cheer until a goal is scored.
So it's like a library, you know, with a jingling bell. to have nothing else, like no other sound around, it's cool. Like, I like it a lot. You know, I love the fact that we play in a very quiet gym. And then when the goal scores, if, you know, we're in a tournament where there's a crowd and they can erupt, like, you know, in soccer. It's so cool to hear that.
Goalball's the only sport in the Paralympics that isn't based on an Olympic sport. It's not like wheelchair basketball or sled hockey. It's its own thing, completely unique and created for visually impaired people. And maybe that's the reason that a lot of people don't know about it.
I was just curious. I heard how Lisa came to goalball, but I'm kind of curious about you. How did you get into it and learn about it?
Sure. Like almost any other coach in the sport, by complete accident.
Jake Jakowski is the coach for the U.S. women's goalball team, and he's also Lisa's husband. Like most of the coaches, Jake didn't grow up thinking he was going to coach goalball. He kind of had to stumble into it. In 2004, he was volunteering at a sports camp for kids with disabilities. And they took a field trip to Colorado Springs. That's where he saw the U.S. women's team training for the Athens Paralympics.
And I was floored. I had seen goalball at a very, very, very introductory and recreational level and thought, what a cool access to sport. Seeing it at a higher level took my interest to a whole new plane. And there were so many dynamics of the sport, the athleticism, the teamwork, the camaraderie, the sheer talent level needed to be a high-level athlete. I wanted to learn more.
Jake was instantly hooked, and he started bombarding the coach with questions, but the coach didn't really want anything to do with him. So Jake started talking to the athletes, and that's where he met Lisa.
And she had no idea I had any interest in her whatsoever because she was so hyper-focused on the games.
It's a good thing he's really persistent.
and her friends were teasing her because apparently I wasn't as slick about it as I was thinking. But we did. We began a friendship then, and that's where my love for goalball grew.
For the next 5 years, Jake spent all of his time learning everything he could about goalball. He formed his own club team back in Tucson where he lived, and they got really good. And at the same time, he kept bugging the Paralympic goalball coach. And eventually, in 2010, he became the assistant coach. And at the same time, Jake and Lisa dated, fell in love, and got married.
And I couldn't be more blessed for that opportunity to have everything that I love all wrapped into one environment. And so for me, my day-to-day operations are absolute pure joy.
Lisa and Jake both say that it's been really cool to go through this journey together. They've been through 3 Olympic cycles, and Jake got to be right next to Lisa in 2016 when she got her bronze medal in Rio. Not long after that, Jake became the head coach for the women's goalball team, and he decided to move the team from Tucson to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Fort Wayne is the second largest city in Indiana, and it happens to have one of the only Paralympic goalball courts in the United States. The city offered Jake and the team a residential program at Turnstone, which is this really innovative center that's been serving people with disabilities since the 40s. And it was kind of a perfect match. Fort Wayne's been working for decades on becoming more inclusive. So Lisa and Jake found this amazing supportive community there. And surprisingly,
it was one that actually knew what goalball was.
It's nice when we go to the grocery store, we go to a local place, I have a goalball shirt on. Hey, I heard about goalball. Are you participating in that big tournament? It's really nice to be able to live in that environment.
Stuff like this is pretty cool when you're a pro in a sport that a lot of people don't even know exists. And it's not just goalball. Fort Wayne's been working really hard for years to become as accessible as possible. Recently, they put together a disability committee whose entire job is to make sure that the city doesn't just do the bare minimum for accessibility, but instead actually helps create a city that people with different abilities will want to live in. All this paid off in 2019 when the city got to host the Paralympic qualifiers for goalball and judo. This was the first time qualifiers like this had been held in the U.S., and it's a huge deal. The night before the qualifying games begin, all the athletes and coaches get together for an opening ceremony. It's huge. Over 500 people fill the baseball stadium in downtown Fort Wayne. Players from all over the world file onto the field, led by guide dogs, canes, and friends.
Recognizing Greece. Carrying their country's flag, Konstantina Driva, goalball athlete.
Eventually, the field is covered with over 40 flags, their bright colors waving in the breeze. It's a really beautiful moment. There are hundreds of people in the stadium, speaking dozens of languages, here to participate in events that most of the country doesn't know exist.
Recognizing Lithuania, carrying their country's flag.
But even though it may not be as mainstream as the Olympics, the Paralympics represent an important community that crosses borders and abilities. The U.S. is the last team to arrive.
Recognizing the United States of America.
And the crowd erupts.
Their country's flag, Callahan Young, goalball athlete.
Lisa walks in the middle with the athletes, a huge smile on her face.
Congratulations to all of the countries represented this evening, and we wish you all the best in your athletic endeavors this upcoming week.
Back in the court, Lisa and her teammates are facing off against Denmark. Team USA is on the defensive. The three players have spaced themselves out in front of the net, and they situate themselves right over the lines, tracing the red tape with their fingertips. The way they're standing reminds me of poised lionesses waiting for the attack. You can barely make out what the athletes from Denmark are whispering to each other. They're trying to strategize, but other than their voices, the air is silent and tense. And I try to imagine what Lisa must be thinking.
Okay, deep breath. The goal is 3 steps behind me. Gotta double check that I'm right on top of the line. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so this player's been throwing left most of the game, so be prepared to block from the left side of the goal. Left, left. Okay, but it could be right, or center, left, right, center, left, right, center, left, right, center, left, right, center.
Goalball players are thinking about these things all the time. And really, so are blind people. They live in a world that isn't built for them, where things that they can't see are coming at them all the time, and they don't have the luxury of tape on the ground or a set goal to orient themselves.
It's very peaceful when playing goalball. It feels awesome to know that I'm not relying on any vision to do this sport. I am just relying on my tactual skills, my auditory skills, and my brain. And so that's a really calming feeling, because you spend most of your life dealing, you know, and working through your vision, how environmentally you're going to deal with your visual impairment, you know, from getting around to working, to all these things. But when we're on that goalball court, when I'm on that goalball court, I don't need to worry about anything with vision whatsoever.
Denmark releases the ball when it comes whizzing down the court. Lisa's teammate catches it in the stomach. The teammate then hands the ball to Lisa. She slowly walks backwards and touches the goal behind her. It's almost ritualistic. The players do it almost every time before a throw, so they can know where they are and how hard they have to throw. When she's ready, Lisa winds up her arm like she's getting ready to throw a softball and spins her entire body around before releasing the ball to the other side of the court.
I am proud of who I am and that I have a visual impairment, and I believe this was meant to be.
They win by a landslide. Lisa and her team went on to win silver in the tournament. They're headed to Tokyo in 2020. Reporting from Fort Wayne, Indiana, I'm Rebecca Nolan.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
Seventy-five years ago, World War II ended. It was the deadliest military conflict in history, resulting in 85 million casualties. We mark the anniversary of the end of that war by celebrating the heroism of our greatest generation, those who served and those who supported their efforts at home. On September 2nd, we will commemorate the signing of the Articles of Surrender aboard the battleship Missouri Memorial at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. A celebration of the peace that followed. Salute their service, honor their hope. Join us virtually for the events on September 2nd, 2020. For further information, go to 75thww2commemoration.org.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War.